morning, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you tuning in today. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show for this Tuesday. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined today by Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklazer. We'll be talking about all kinds of things today regarding the city police, what they've got going on here in the next month, 2 months, training, all kinds of stuff they've got going. Probably talk a little bit about Halloween, but first of all, and I do wish to express my regrets for your sake, sympathies and empathy for Keith. Chief Cocklazer is a Cubs fan, pretty diehard Cubs fan. You've never been anything else, have you, Keith?
That's all I've been.
Ever?
Ever.
You're 30-something.
Yeah.
You're that?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
This year.
Wow. He's 40. He's been living 40 years as a Cubs fan, and you've made it farther than you did this year. Was it relatively frustrating for you, or do you even want to talk about the Cubs series against the Mets at all? Did you watch the series?
I watched the series.
Yeah.
You had the peak, the Game 7 against the Pirates.
Yeah.
Of course, brother is a Pirates fan.
Yeah.
That was a great time.
You beat the Pirates.
Yeah, no call there.
No. You didn't call him.
Nope.
Does Steve pay that much attention to the Pirates anymore? Well, he's got Sophia to worry about and that kind of thing.
That's more important.
Yeah, that's right. Then you have the glory, I'm assuming, of the next week against the Cardinals.
Well, it's one thing. Everybody you got the diehard Cubs, diehard Cardinals. I'm little both, but when they play, it seems to be great series throughout the year. It's not just
it's a playoff atmosphere during the season.
Yeah.
And so the Cubs won that series. So you and your friends, I presume you've got Cub fan friends.
Yeah, I got wife, families, Cardinal fans and Cubs fans, but we get along.
Well, that's nice.
It's nice.
You and your Cub fans friends, you're able to enjoy that and look forward.
Well, we thought the season was over then.
Oh, that ended the season?
That was it.
The beat the Cardinals?
Yeah, that was it. And we just packed our bags.
I realized that that nobody on this Cubs team has been farther along, other than John Lester. You can kind of understand a little bit of that thought process. I do need to ask, it had to be the most frustrating thing in the world whenever the Mets scored in the first inning of every game.
Every game. Yeah. That's a bad sign.
Did you throw anything?
No, I did turn channel. Set aside time to watch ball game and to get frustrated the first inning. That's always fun.
That makes it for a tough week. That makes for a very difficult week.
Same as a football. The first drive, they score, and look, just every sport.
Yeah. Who you root for football, Bears?
I'm a Cowboy fan.
Cowboy? Oh, good grief. Yeah, you're having a difficult – you're having a tough October.
It's normal. It's normal.
I forgot about that.
We live in the past.
Are you going to get Dez back pretty soon?
No, I have no idea.
It's not your call.
He's a lightning rod anyway.
Well, now what about this Kevin Hardy guy? Are you glad that he's on, or not Kevin? Greg Hardy.
Yeah,
are you glad
that he's on? The whole background of that one. That's.
Do you know it now?
I know it now.
Yeah, yeah. You might be dealing with Greg Hardy at some point.
Well, hopefully he'll stay south.
That's
not too many pro football players come through here. But
no, that's true. Talking with Keith Cocklazer, and of course we're just kind of kibitzing before we get to the meat of today's interview. Today, this is Keith's monthly visit, and it's Halloween. You've got two kids. Have they started going crazy for Halloween? Even though the one is really, really young, is he looking forward to candy? Does he know about the candy yet?
He does not know about the candy. I take that back, actually. We made a trip for a doctor's appointment to Evansville. Funny story. Had to stop in the Libs Chocolate Factory.
Oh, really? You had to? You had a car breakdown or something?
Kept turning left.
Your vehicle just accidentally. So.
Yeah, we got out, went inside, walked around, and the nice ladies in there just insisted the young lad have some chocolate.
He is 10 months old or something?
14.
14 months old, yeah.
Yeah, a little chocolate, a little shiver right there, and he wanted more.
Was that the first candy?
That was the first candy.
was Libs chocolate. Yep. Did you bring me any white chocolate from Libs? See, that's my favorite.
Well, I did not know that. But now that I know it.
I appreciate that. Yes. Well, you see, you did bring gifts today.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about those, too. It's a fundraiser for is this from the basketball?
That's actually from the golf tournament. We've had those for a while.
Okay.
I felt you needed one, though.
I do need one. Keith has brought a gift here this morning of the coffee cup that you drive in your car, plus a golf towel, a Fairfield, and a coolie, the police coolie. That's beautiful. Pepsi only, right?
That's right.
Diet Pepsi only.
Keep that at home.
I will keep that. Yeah, I will. Yeah, that will not be anywhere near my vehicle, because if I put it in my vehicle, somebody will take it.
That's true.
We're going to talk Halloween today, though. What special precautions? First of all, Keith, what are the city's Halloween trick-or-treating hours? I missed it whenever the – when did the city council decide that?
Last meeting. So okay. 2 weeks ago today.
Yeah.
They decided to be Friday and Saturday night, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, that is this week, Friday and Saturday. Why you go to those meetings? Why do they have 2 days of trick-or-treating? I had somebody ask me that the other day.
That started before I started going to meetings.
Yeah.
I understand it, because a lot of, you get a big family, you want to visit your family on one night, and if you want to go out a few nights to a few other people's house next night, I mean, it makes sense to a point, but one night, I don't know.
Does that get folks to, all right, you've got a lovely wife, Beth Ann, who is very doting mother on her children. Does that mean that Carly will have like two different costumes?
No, we only do one.
You only do one?
Yeah.
See, I know some people who do.
I can see that.
Two.
Yeah.
And then they come both nights.
Yeah.
I've had that.
You're a popular place.
Well, you think that can, it's, you know why?
Yeah.
The eyeball gumballs.
Well, I've been there.
That's exactly right. She couldn't find the eyeball gumballs this year, by
That's
the
not
way.
Not good.
It's eyeball jelly, or like jelly bean eyeballs this year. But yeah, that's okay. So you've got the kids who are going two nights sometime. The city council has decreed 5 to 8 p.m. on both Friday and Saturday. Do you put more police out, or what do you do?
We put the APs out. They will be out patrolling. Got six of them, so we'll have three to four cars out driving around during that time frame, a little before, a little after. You know, mischief really doesn't stop at 8 o'clock.
I was going to say, the trick-or-treating typically stops at 8 o'clock, but there's a little bit more mischief. How much more mischief will – I mean, it seemed like it was maybe so – maybe I just missed it. It didn't look like the TPers were out so
yeah, we'll
much
knock,
in force
we'll knock
this
on
year.
Wood right now. It's been a pretty quiet in Halloween.
Have you had anybody paraffin windows or soaping or anything like
no,
that?
No, we had some the busted pumpkins here and there. I'm going to say a handful of TPing that I've seen while I drive around.
Yeah.
Of course, I live next to a coach, so he gets it all the time, so yeah. I see that.
Yeah.
But other than that, seems a little slower this year.
That's good.
Of course, it's going to rain all week.
Well, yeah.
It rained last time I came out here, too.
Oh, really?
So maybe
was that the last time it rained?
I think so.
That might have been pretty close to the last. So, yeah, Keith brings the ugly days with him. Okay, so whenever you've got, you say you're bringing out your the AP, how many of those guys are you going to have out there?
We got six, and then we usually team them up, let them ride together. They have their, we got our cars, they got their cars, they just patrol all the neighborhoods.
And you're mainly just doing a presence, right?
Yes. And, you got the hot spots of town. Of course, your street and obviously where you grew up was
the hot spot,
popular place up in Kincaid Acres.
At Kenny Wilson's house.
Yep.
People, he still
feeding
does.
Them.
He feeds them.
Yeah. That's a busy road.
That is, Ninth Street is incredibly busy.
Yes, it is.
We probably shouldn't give his address out for people who don't know it.
I think he's on the front page of paper every year.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a busy area. First Street, Lakeview. There's busy parts of town.
And again, we make light, but these little kids, they're on a sugar buzz.
They're excited.
They're kind of excited, right?
Yes.
You have to kind of, folks need a reminder to watch them a little closer, don't they?
Yeah, you get in Halloween, of course we take the stance, you get the full face masks and wigs and stuff like that. We prefer the painted faces.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is you get a mask on, it's hard to see out your peripheral vision. And like you said, time you get a bucket full of candy, sneak a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
They're not going to be paying attention.
Yeah, it's like, and then maybe Aunt Jane or somebody sneaks them a Mountain Dew too.
Well, the family has the special gifts.
Well, that's right. The family.
You have the public treats, and then when the family comes, you get the big bag of treats.
Oh, I see.
That's how it works in our family.
Is that right? So if I go trick or treat Donita, I'm going to just get like a Snicker bar or something like that, or maybe a piece of gum.
If you weren't Bruce.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, I am Bruce. I'm figuring since I am Bruce, I'm going to get the stick of gum and shoved out the door. But otherwise, somebody's going to get the – I'm wondering is anybody going to get the caramel popcorn balls this year?
I haven't seen those in a long time.
Really?
I've seen the prepackaged ones?
No.
No.
Nobody makes those anymore, huh?
Yeah, I haven't seen them. My in-laws used to give out sodas of all things, the small cans. That's a lot. That, you get people coming back every year after that.
I could see Bob handing out Jolt Cola.
Loved it. He'd sit on the porch and he'd meet every kid.
Is that right?
And talk to every one of them.
No kidding.
Yes.
Oh,
when they lived on First Street and also when they moved by the golf course.
Yeah.
Loved Halloween.
Is that right? I'm talking with Keith Cocklazer. We're talking police stuff and Halloween and how to take care of your kids. Make sure that everybody is safe. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words.
Still is at a drive. Me and the boys. Just me and the boys. Me and the boys. Me and my buddy just like to go. Taking in the sights. Me and the boys. Just me and the boys. Me and the boys. Don't raise questions about half done. We're just messing around having fun. The car shifted well up and down, muffs a little loud, but we love that sound. Me and the boys.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Tuesday morning, it's 9:25. It is 60 degrees. I've been talking with Keith Cocklazer. You know, Keith, it seems like over the years you have the occasional scare. You know, somebody puts razor blades in the apples and stuff. Is that all an old wives' tale, or have you ever seen anything like that, at least here, take place?
I've never seen it personally.
Yeah.
16 years. I know the hospital did that at one time. I don't know if they do it anymore.
I don't think they do. The x-ray candy, you mean?
Yeah. I don't think it's been done for a long time.
Do you ever read anything and see that does happen any place? Because every time I see it, it's always sketchy. Let's put it that way. There's never any real facts.
Well, put a disclaimer, it is 2015. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When you go trick-or-treating, it's always best to, people are going to have the porch lights on who are welcoming kids. If you don't want kids, don't turn porch light on. It's how we do it in Fairfield. Everybody around here is great. But you never know. You never know when it will happen. People get ideas on the internet. It's just a different world.
Yeah, I guess it is. And that's something you always have to – what are some of the key tips for safety on – with the you mentioned the masks – using face paint as opposed to masks. What else does somebody who's taking kids around trick-or-treating need to keep in mind?
Well, if you're taking them, you got to be careful driving. These kids are going to run out. Like I said, they're going to be excited. They're going to be going from house to house. I don't think that happens as much as it used to.
Yeah.
Because I remember going house to house as a kid. But I think, people stick to people they know now, for the most part. No. Well, you got the popular house.
Well, I guess that's true.
All right.
like you mentioned earlier, there are the occasional neighborhoods that get a lot of kids that come just basically.
Yeah. And they're not going to be crossing the crosswalks, unfortunately. Parents going to have a hard time hanging on to one or two kids at a time. So when you're driving through these areas, slow, headlights on at all times.
Yeah.
We just talked about it's going to be dark. We're ballpark 5:45 probably. Roughly?
Yeah, about that. 6 o'clock, the sun will certainly be gone by 6.
Yeah, time. So have your headlights on during trick-or-treat hours. Look for the kids. Even if you see a kid crossing, they may have a baggy costume, trip and fall.
Yeah.
So always be aware. Give them plenty of time to get across that road.
And that's another thing that you just never really consider, that I never really think about, is the fact that a kid might, he may not want to walk real fast.
Yeah, and they're looking in the bucket, what I get.
Looking in the bucket. Hey, that's a Heath bar.
Yeah, Milk Duds right there. I got to get those.
Well, we're going back there.
Halfway across the road.
What other?
Well, that happens too. They return in different costumes, like you said.
That's exactly right.
My mother's had that.
Has she?
Yeah.
I have too.
Well, they keep count. Do you guys keep count?
No, we did, and we kind of got tired of it. And what we do is we know a little bit how many handfuls of candy are going. But I don't know. We've got all I know is, let me tell you this, Keith. All I know is I think she's got 40 tattoo kits ready to go.
Ready to go.
And that's one of the things that.
Well, just for Friday. Those will be gone Friday.
Yeah. I must tell you this. If you're coming to my house, you'd better be a special friend to get anything on Saturday.
What about Thursday?
The light. You'd better be a special friend to get anything on Thursday, a special friend or relative to get anything on Thursday or Saturday, because I don't think the light's planned on being. I think the thought process is, and this may be what a lot of folks do, the thought process is to maybe run out of food. Run out of treats on Friday night. So, if you're going
to... Well, everybody's trying to get healthy. You want that gone, right? After Halloween, you don't want any sticking around.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. We don't have any
sticking around. Now, as a kid, you want that stuff. I just give you a piece. That way I can keep
Well, you can
for
trade. See, trade. As a kid, you were able to trade with, like, Steve or something like that. And, of course, you being so much younger than him, he would trade, hey, look, little Keither, I'll take that Snicker bar, and here's a Smartie. One Smartie, not even a pack of Smarties.
I haven't had too many. Pretty much Snicker bars are for me.
You held on to the Snicker bars. Okay, then we were talking as drivers. How about as the parents walking around with the kids? Do most of them carry flashlights anymore? Or what's the story?
Flashlights, glow bracelets, anything that's going to light that kid up. A lot of them don't think they want to be scary and stuff like that. But flashlights is a great tool. Glow sticks. You can just go out to Walmart and buy them for $1.
Really?
Great to carry. That way you know your kid's safe, because usually it's not just one kid. Like I said, you're going to be dealing, I've got my cousins with me.
Half a dozen kids at a time.
And then there's going up together, having a good time, and then maybe want to sneak off one way or the other. Just got to be alert.
What about if you're, for those of us who, all right, let's talk about the pranks. We haven't seen much this year. We'd mentioned we haven't seen much. And if, say on Saturday night, I don't have the light on, if I get pranked, do I call the police or do I run them off with a shotgun?
I'm going to go with no on that one. you get pranked, you see suspicious activity at your house, we will gladly come down to avoid the second half.
To anybody's house.
Yes.
That's the thing. I have seen the occasional prank go awry. Hypothetical man has had the occasional
that
prank
guy
go.
Is busy.
Hypothetical guy has lived a life.
Man, I told you at the parade I maybe had some paperwork for the hypothetical guy.
He's hypothetical. He doesn't exist. He's hypothetical. But say hypothetical guy. What if a homeowner? Well, first of all, the kids shouldn't be out there pranking, right?
That's right.
But people take their kids out there and TP people with like 5-year olds.
Travel with them. Park down the road, driving the getaway car.
When did that start? Are you going to do that with your kids?
Hypothetical guy is a little older. From what we've talked, I feel he may be a little older.
I think hypothetical guy is switching sides of the table here.
But yeah, it's funny. My whole career, I pretty much worked mornings in investigations, so I didn't see them out traveling at night, but yeah. I know they do.
Yeah.
Van loads. I see them down by my house.
You see van loads of pranksters?
Going to the coach's house. Mom parking down the road. Kids running down the road.
See, so you can use your investigatory skills to be able to. Lynn just saw your towel. He's very thrilled. You can use your investigatory skills to be able to see who exactly the pranksters are.
It's not too hard. You know, dressed all in black, run down a dark road.
No, I know, but yeah. When they have the van parked down the road.
Yeah, with the lights on.
With the lights on.
Yeah, daytime running lights. You can't turn them off. It's a different world.
It is a different world. Nobody ever calls the police on. Does anybody ever call the police on?
We've had some.
TPs?
Yeah.
TP and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, usually the next morning. Don't know if kids got the right house, wrong house, or picking on that person, but we have had calls.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What do you deal? How do you deal with it? Not much you can do.
Not
at that
much
point.
We can do. Not much we can do at all.
Well, we're just kind of fortunate though here that we don't have say the Detroit style Devil's Night or something like that, right?
Or Carbondale.
Yeah, hadn't even thought about Carbondale.
Yeah, I mean we have the Legion does a great job. The kids, and I've never seen the Hairball goes fine. No problems there.
Hairball was fine all night Saturday night.
So I mean we're lucky.
Although there was the occasional pumpkin chucking. I did see a little pumpkin chucking.
Well, that starts around Fall Fun Fest.
Yeah.
And then it usually goes through, unfortunately, through November. Time the pumpkins are put away.
Well, that happens.
That's kids.
Yeah, that's what kids will do. What do you have going on I know the grant is still held up. Whenever the budget gets through, is there any chance that thing gets going again? A pure change of subject, because I think we've beat Halloween to death. Pure change of subject. Is there whenever the budget gets through, what is the possibility of that grant getting back in?
I don't know if they will change the parameters on it. We have a deadline, 2016. I believe it's October.
To finish up.
To finish up, to have it done. And, of course, the budget crunch, the suspension of the grant, I don't know what's going to happen.
It's something that's still alive.
At this time. It's alive, but there's no, how they word it, no current bill to future fund it.
Yeah.
We do have some funds that we are allowed to use, but it's not enough to make any of the renovations. And you don't think you want to break ground on a parking lot and not be able to have funds coming in for it and then be on the hook, especially with how the economy is now. It's a great grant. Bad timing by the state of Illinois.
That's a rough deal. I mean, is it? That seems to me to be something that you haven't applied for that kind of grant before. When's the last time Fairfield City Police asked the state for money or something in that kind of situation?
My previous chief did a great job. He got us a grant when we first moved to that building. Of course, we got the building, Brack closure.
Yeah,
I consider that to be a grant. That was, like a dollar. For that.
For the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only thing is, you know, if we leave, it's got to go back. So I consider that a grant. That was a long process. You know, it's not like you can write a grant in a week. These are long, drawn-out deals. And, you know, you finally get awarded one, and then it gets suspended. That's kind of it's the way it goes. Not much you can do about it. Just keep watching, and hopefully they will get the state of Illinois lined out.
Tell me how the I think there's probably a lot of folks hoping that. Let's switch gears to the parking situation. Yeah, I know we've been dealing with that a little bit down near the schools. How'd that work during football games?
From what I've been told, had two or three first couple of games. By the time the end of the season, it was going pretty well. You can travel through all around that area, no issues at all.
Folks would have enough room to get the emergency vehicles. Never had to have one, thank goodness, during the games. But I was at El Dorado, and they did have a serious whenever Fairfield played at El Dorado. El Dorado had a fan in the stands have heart issues, and basically kaput there in the stands. They were able to bring her back, but they brought the defibrillators and everything out there, and the thing at El Dorado, they've got the ambulance directly behind the stands, as opposed to like a Fairfield where the ambulance would have had to go a little distance. And I would think that's the point of the whole parking situation, isn't it? Yeah. To cut down on the amount of time.
Yeah, the ambulance, we have an ambulance stage at the football games.
Yeah.
Down by
my corner.
Yeah, the old FFA. The old one.
Yeah.
Because they're across the way now.
Yeah,
but there is stage there. It gets in there before any of the other cars do. The thing is, though, if you have an event, there's more people coming.
Right.
You're going to have that one crew, but all medical runs, we run fire department, so they're bringing a truck. Police department, we're coming. So
that started a couple of 3 years ago. When did that start? Why went on a run bringing the fire department and the police too?
They just started last year, but it's a 911 issue. Ambulances are now paramedics, so there's more drugs on the ambulances.
Oh, I see.
Not in our community.
They're not EMTs anymore, are they?
Well, they are.
Is that a different?
They're
a different classification.
Yeah, it's more advanced.
Oh, okay.
So now you have more life-saving equipment, drugs on an ambulance. I know down south, the neighboring community, the ambulances were getting broke into
really
for those drugs.
Wow.
So a lot of times we'll show up. We may not go in the building with the ambulance. You never know when you're going to have a combative patient, so we help there. But also, we also watch the – because the aim was they pop door open, outdoor to help, leave doors open. So we also watch that too. So we're kind of –
Well, you got to watch the street.
Yeah.
For traffic issues because, I mean, you never know when you can have somebody pull down the street and not even realize that there's an ambulance out there and pop it.
Yeah, ambulance, We pretty much leave the street open if we can. Now, if there's a fire or a fire alarm, we usually make that a parking lot and just block it all the way off in case they got to string hoses across or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Saw that yesterday. Was that a wreck out at Walmart yesterday? Was that what I saw out there, or was that somebody getting pulled over? It looked like a wreck. You don't know? You haven't gotten the report yet.
I haven't got that one.
It was you guys.
Well, I had I gave a speech this morning, so I haven't been in the office yet.
Ah.
You're my number two today.
Is that right?
Early Tuesday.
Wow. Who's the first one? Kiwanis today?
Local bank.
Oh, no kidding. Good. Talking with Keith Cocklaser. He's the city police chief, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in the city when it comes to policing. When we return here to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM and FM, WFIW, Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these.
tell you lies, criticize and sympathize. Yeah, but be careful what you wish for, friend, cause I've been to hell and now.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM and FM WFIW Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in today. It is 9:46. It's 60 degrees. My guest is Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklaser. He's been police chief for about just about as long as his boy's been alive, I guess, right?
Yep, four months shy.
Yeah, as he's been about a year and a half, a little over that. And we were talking during the break. I was mentioning to Keith, what do you think you would do if you came across, if basically you're serving a, I don't know, going on a drug bust, and you find a dude like in South Carolina this week had 10,000 guns, 10,000 stolen guns on the property.
That's a busy guy.
That's a busy, busy guy, isn't it? What? First of all, you're going to be kind of busy cataloging, aren't you?
Yeah, it's kind of like you can get back to trick-or-treats, the eyeball just popping out of the head there if you saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be there a while.
Yeah. just one of the weird things that you people still do. There's a lot of guns.
People love guns. That's a lot.
He also had a massive number of hunting mounts. He had like hundreds. He had over 500 chainsaws.
That's South Carolina?
This is in South Carolina. 500 chainsaws. He had all kinds of taxidermy supplies, crossbows, and four-wheelers. This is like redneck Walmart or something.
Say, what do you do for a living, did it say?
You
don't feel like a Zimbabwe dentist or something.
doesn't really say. He's been charged with trafficking opium and heroin.
Well, that goes along with it.
So I'm assuming he did that for a living. Yeah.
Unexplained income.
The deputies they discovered all the stash when they were serving him a subpoena. They weren't even going to bust him for anything.
It's like a barking dog complaint.
Really?
You never know what you're going to find.
I guess that's true. One of his neighbors was shocked to learn of the scary stockpiling next door. And that's something that you and I were also talking about, Keith. Occasionally, there you find things that you just don't really expect, don't you?
All the time.
Whether
it be just a regular call, what people are doing. 16 years is young in the profession.
Really?
You think you see a lot. But they're not joking. Your first day, you better start a diary because you could write a good book.
Is that right?
Obviously, from the stories we've had on the radio.
Yeah,
over the past week.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about it. But Keith, I didn't figure you'd probably want to bring that up.
It's a good story.
It is a good story. It is a good story. They're your neighbors. Well, no, not your neighbors, but the police. The neighbor at the police station. Neighbor of.
Comfortable.
There you go. Keith, you know, the radio probably isn't the time for inside talk, is it?
Probably not.
All right. It's been, whenever you say you've been chief for, let's get a little bit more serious. You say you've been chief for 18 months. Let's talk a little bit about Megan Nichols. This goes on and on and on. And I know that it gets cold, but, you know, her family, it doesn't get cold to them ever, I guess. Do you still get tips? Do the police still get tips? And is everything still investigated pretty thoroughly?
We investigate everything, first of all. We've had a lull here. I know the local news channel in the Evansville area is redoing another story.
Really?
Just to keep it in the limelight, which is a good deal. I think last time we talked, it wasn't last month, but before, we had tips from Australia.
Had an Australian tip. Yeah. That's right.
It was on, it wasn't Twitter, it was Flickr, I believe.
Okay.
But they still come in. You know, it's reached Australia that people are looking for Megan Nichols. That's pretty impressive. You know,
it's about as far away as you can get.
Well, Wayne County, you know, we think we all live in our own little world here. We've had calls from all over the U.S. And if it's local, we take care of it. If it's something on that scale, I refer that to state police because they have more resources than I have.
Yeah, yeah. Anything you said, it's reached kind of a lull.
Just the tips coming in. Every once in a while we'll have one. It just, unfortunately, they've slowed down.
Hmm. What do you do other than try to get a little bit more media attention? Like you said, you've got a group in some TV in Evansville doing another story.
We revisit inside. I did it into the investigation, invite in other agencies to help me.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you bring in another agency to kind of give you a free look?
Yeah, and they do the same thing. They're actually in that process now. They're revisiting everything they've looked at, trying to find something they've missed. So we hold out hope. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Very hard to disappear, but it can be done. Man, if there's foul play, we're ready to go that route too.
Hmm. Well, you know, that's the thing. Probably the folks just want to be assured that you're still that's not a cold case. It's an active investigation.
Yes, it's still in my office. Like I said, I was the investigator prior to becoming chief, and when this happened, it was 2 months into my appointment, and I took off with the investigation, being chief and doing that. And I know that state police, I've spoke with them, and I know it's still active with them too.
Really? How many months has she been gone now? That was like July of 14?
Yeah. So we're a year and a half.
Nearing it, aren't we? I hesitate to ask, but what else could you do than what you're doing right now?
Revisit everything we've done.
Yeah.
And just go over it and go over it again. The fresh set of eyes, the other agencies. Just keep working it, and hopefully, hopefully she'll return if that's the case. And if not, we'll build the best case we can against what we can find.
What do you do about to try to prevent stuff like that coming in the future? I mean, when you don't know – when you don't know exactly what happened to a kid, whether there was some computer stuff involved, maybe internet kind of thing, what kind of tips can you give parents to keep an eye out maybe for their kids on the internet, something like that?
Yeah, several monitoring things for the kids. I know everybody's got Facebook. Unfortunately, I don't want it.
I don't. I don't want it.
Unfortunately, some parents keep tabs on everything they do, and that's not a bad thing. Kids think they know it all. I thought I knew it all one time,
yeah,
and I learned that real fast that I don't.
Yeah.
But kids get pretty brave. You can kind of tell by a kid's demeanor whether they're withdrawing from you or staying out later. Just be aware of the signs, who they're running with. You never know what's going to come into play.
Yeah. That's what the parents and the family have probably been just beating themselves up, thinking, what else could I have done?
Oh, I still think about it to this day as an
investigator. Yeah, you do too, yeah.
You know, having a family, I can't imagine, but I think about it every day. Mm. I'll be driving down the interstate looking, just thinking I'll see something. You get in a big city, you go shopping with your family and you keep looking. Well, that kind of looks like her, because we've had tips in Evansville. Go to Fairfield, Evansville, that's the normal shopping place for a lot of people. You just keep looking.
At what point do you start, does the Federal Bureau of Investigation or somebody else do the aging photos? I mean, you'll see the occasional photo of somebody, what they think they would have looked like in 2, 5, 10 years, something like that.
I don't personally know. I know that we have entered dental records and stuff like that into the computer system. So if somebody does unfortunately run across a body or something like that.
I don't think you might understand my question.
Yeah, I know. I don't know when they would do that. You see it.
We have Elizabeth Smart or something, right? That has been gone for, what was she gone, 2, 3, 4 years or something like that? Or how long was she gone?
I think she was gone longer than that, wasn't she?
Maybe 7. Yeah. And you had the gals up in Cleveland,
yeah,
who were in the dude's house, and the house is gone now and he's dead too.
Yeah,
that they were there for 10 years or some crazy number.
That's something, that's why I said, that's why I brought another agency in, because they deal with a lot more of this. They did the Willow Long in Effingham, or the Effingham area.
Mm-hmm.
They have more resources than a local police department would.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we reach out. They are a great benefit to us on everything from a traffic crash all the way to an investigation like this. They have the resources. They have the connections. They know what they're doing. I mean, that's specifically trained. Whereas a local cop, you're a street cop, you're an investigator, you're a counselor, you wear so many hats.
You don't specialize like those guys
right,
do.
And you get in a higher organization where you have thousands of employees. All right, you do evidence collection.
Yeah.
I'm sending you to school just for this. That's all you will do. And that's when we reach out to the larger organizations.
Well, you know, that's the thing. All you can do is all you can do, isn't it? I mean, there really isn't anything else you can...
Keep looking.
Just keep looking and keep looking at the... make sure you keep the posters out there, I guess.
That's correct.
Because that's probably the... I mean, I presume that you're getting most of your tips from posters or from that poster being flashed on Twitter or something like that. Where'd the Australian one come from? He said Flickr?
That's where he saw an ad thinking that it was Megan.
Really?
Yeah. It was a... well, the right word would be soliciting ad, I guess you would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So you never know what you're going to see.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, you get a call from Australia and you're kind of like, huh? Just on the internet, you got the Missing Kids organization that puts stuff out everywhere. They've been great. Whenever we've had a sighting, they call me and say, hey, do you want us to send flyers anywhere? And they will flood that area.
Really?
And just get people looking again.
Yeah.
They've been great to work with.
Well, I tell you what, just keep it up. I mean, that's the best you can do, isn't it?
Can't give up.
That's Keith Cocklazer. This is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate everybody listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. Let's reiterate our main point today. Stay safe on Halloween, right?
Most important thing, watch after the kids. It's a great time for them, and enjoy their costumes.
Enjoy the kids' costumes, and be safe out there on trick-or-treating night, folks. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow.